You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thanks for making us part of your daily grind, taking us with you wherever it is that you're going, whatever you're doing. We really do appreciate you taking us along and making us part of your Celtics life. We're the Rainer Jays, John Corrales, joined today by Samuel Jamison Packard III. A couple of games to talk about, really. It's the Minnesota game. But Celtics over the weekend win a couple of games, three in a row now. They beat the Cavs on Friday night. They beat the shit out of the Cavs, 128-95, and 118-109 winners over the Timberwolves on Saturday night. The big thing is Gordon Hayward. We're going to talk about that. Got some interesting statistics about Jason Tatum, if you haven't seen those, and his kind of adjustment. Talk about that. And, of course, Marcus Smart and making passes from his ass. All of that and more. But first, we're going to talk about Gordon Hayward, who, against the Minnesota Timberwolves, had his best game as a Celtic by far. 30 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 8 of 16 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3, 10 of 10 from the line. An amazing all-around game and a sign that he really has taken a big step forward. So, Jam, what did you see from the Gordon Hayward extravaganza Saturday night?
Well, I think we can say definitively that he does not belong in the G League. I know the talking heads out there, the jerks out there have made some points calling for him to go to the G League, but I think it's clear that he's an NBA player, and it's clear that he's feeling a little bit more comfortable. We heard the talk this week about him and Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie saying he needs to be a bit more aggressive and he has a bit of an asshole in him. And I think we saw that in both games against the Cavs and the Timberwolves. But against the Timberwolves, it really felt like he was making a concerted effort to drive and get to the hoop. And but on those drives, I thought like his 8 assists were just as important. He was making very good passes, finding people when he was driving. But it just looked like he was put it in his mind to be aggressive, get to the rim. That's why we saw him with so many free throws. That's why we saw him with so many assists. And then it seemed like once he kind of got it going, like something, like there was a light switch. Something went off. There was a spark where it was just like he was shooting and shooting with confidence. And then we see him make 4 3-pointers, which I think is the most he's made as a Celtic. And he's just not been a great 3-point shooter up until that game against the Timberwolves. And that's just like, if he can make 4 or 5 from deep and get to the line 10 times and dish out 8 assists, he's like, that's Erotic City. That's Kyrie and Gordon smiling at each other at their opening press conference. Like, that's what we all imagined. And so I really think it starts with him being aggressive and a little more comfortable. And I think the big thing was that stands out to the night from that night was a shot he didn't even make, but it was the alley-oop attempt coming out of the ATO where he just like went for it aggressively. He got fouled on the play, but I love the play call. And I think you mentioned it on Twitter. It's the second time they've done something like that. But I just like, if he's at all scared, I love Gush is like going back to the well and like immersion therapy. You're going to deal with this. And it like, I don't know, the fact that he scored 30 points and that happened, I think makes it much more positive. I was still freaking out when it first happened, thinking he was going to injure himself, but he definitely just seems a lot more confident out there. And I think that just goes with aggression. And maybe it was me calling him out that brought out his inner asshole. Who knows?
I would say that you probably played a majority of the role.
Look, he's used to video game lifestyle. He's used to people calling him a noob and probably much worse things and saying they've done things with his mom online. So maybe he just needed more bullying, online bullying, in order to get into the zone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, at least in practice bullying, apparently, because the Celtics on MassLive.com, the story of him getting kind of tossed around a little bit in practice that got him going, I thought was really, really interesting. After the game, after the Timberwolves game, Marcus Morris said, I'll read directly from the piece, Celtics were embroiled in one of their toughest practices of the season. They were poking and prodding at Hayward, fouling him in shit, as Marcus Morris put it. At one point, he says, he just got red at one point. He was really upset. He was going really hard. And then apparently it was Marcus Smart that was in there kind of messing it up with him. And beautiful line. I love when Marcus Morris calls Marcus Smart this. Anytime Smarty gets tangled up with somebody, it's good. I've been waiting to see that side of Hayward for a little bit now. So the Celtics have made this concerted effort. Three-pronged, I see. I see Kyrie Irving telling Gordon Hayward, look, we need you. We need you to go search out for your shot more. Stop passing so much. Go get yours. Go search for your offense. That's step one. Step two is Marcus 1 and 2 getting together and beating the hell out of him in practice and really trying to draw aggression out of him and them poking him and helping him in their own way, in a way that he needed to pull out that, you know what, screw you guys. I'm going to go out and you want to foul me? You want to do this stuff? Well, watch what I can do to you. And then part three is Brad Stevens on some of the things that I was talking about last week, running that horn set where Gordon Hayward was the prime distributor and then calling plays like those alley-oops. They ran that play once against Denver. I don't recall seeing it again since the Denver game. Then they run it in back-to-back games against Cleveland, against Minnesota. They're trying to game plan Hayward back into being Gordon Hayward. The physical stuff is going to take however long it takes. The explosion, that whatever he's not getting from his body, that's going to take however long it takes. The mental stuff, sometimes you need to play a game with this guy. And the Celtics, through the play calling, through Kyrie encouraging him, through Morris and Smart beating the shit out of him in practice and trying to draw aggression out of him that way, they're all trying to help him because the Celtics know they need Gordon Hayward to be as close to what he has been in the past for them to be a really, really good team.
Yeah, the thing you mentioned about physically is that's kind of wild. Is he still? I wouldn't even say he's not there yet. He still didn't like explode or get to the rim over people. He like a lot of his layups are coming off pump fakes or kind of just more finesse around the rim. He still hasn't powered through. But you're right. I think the mental is there. I like that three-pronged approach of like challenging him intellectually and then physically and then just kind of emotionally. And he definitely delivered. But it did like. The thing that I liked about Hayward's game is like, I mean, addition into main shots are always good. But he did a lot of stuff, just like the smaller, more hustle plays, grabbing some offensive rebounds, forcing fouls that way. I mean, there were some ridiculous calls on Karl Anthony Towns, and one of them was absolutely absurd, especially towards the end of the game. But it was a lot of Hayward when a lot of the focus was on Kyrie, just crashing the boards and just forcing things that way. And that's just great to see. That's how you end up with 10 free throws. I think I saw some crazy stat. That's the first time the Celtics have attempted a Celtics person has attempted 10 free throws in over a year. And that's, if you look at the shot chart for the Celtics in that game, a lot more stuff was at the rim, but like the free throws is something we know they're going to struggle to. So if Gordon Hayward can, it maybe doesn't have to be the explosive guy at this point, but if he can get to the rim and draw contact a bunch, that's going to help the Celtics offense tremendously. And they've had three really good offensive games, and not surprisingly, three pretty good wins. They kicked the shit out of the Cavs, which is you should do when you're playing the Cavs. And they led it like they didn't need a huge performance. They just like consistently beat the Timberwolves. And we're pretty much ahead the entire game. And the Timberwolves are a team that are talented, definitely, but a team the Celtics should beat. It seems like things are kind of shifting back to more normal behavior especially over the last 3 weeks, or the last three games over the last week. And I think the, having a lot of practice time has a lot to do with that. But I think a lot of that is just kind of the shifting lineups, putting Marcus Smart in the game, and then, of course, Hayward feeling more comfortable.
Yeah, look, as far as Hayward's aggression, getting to the rim, getting those fouls, that's a huge part of it. Physically, I think when you start seeing him take guys off the dribble is when you know that he's really back to where he is, back to his old self physically. I think you still see him calling for picks, no matter who's guarding him. He's still calling for picks, and getting a pick is the only way he can get by a guy. Now, the old Gordon Hayward can just, if he's got any sort of mismatch, could blow by a guy. That's, I think, the biggest indicator of whether his explosiveness is back. In the meantime, though, he can use his ability, his craftiness. He's a very smart player. He can use that to get himself into situations, into the middle of the lane, and get to the free throw line. Who knows if that explosiveness is ever going to come back? I would be surprised if it doesn't. But until then, he can adjust his game as long as he continues to attack. As far as now the conversation, I see it starting to pop up. Is he going to be good enough to be a starter? Do you bring him back into the starting lineup? I don't know if the lineup situation, Jaylen Brown's about to come back. There's a lot to consider with the lineups. My initial reaction is I never would have thought to start both Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart, but it's working. It's working. So why mess with it? I suppose at some point you're going to have to, if Gordon Hayward is scoring 30 or whatever, 20 some odd points, do you want to have that coming off the bench? Or do you just want to say, hey, if the Celtics starting lineup is going great and if Gordon Hayward is thriving in this role, why not just ride it? Why not just keep rolling with it?
No, at this point, after three wins, you don't mess things up. You don't change things. But I think Jay had his piece on The Athletic where he brought 10 stats that were interesting for the Celtics season so far. And the one that stood out to me the most was the team's offensive rating with Kyrie off the floor, which was, I think, 94, which is, very bad.
That's not good.
Bench scoring, the BWA has not had been WA, basically this entire year. And maybe that's because you're breaking it up and putting the Marcus's on the, starting lineup, but bench scoring has not been good. And so if Gordon Hayward's going to be a facilitator, a guy who can get you 8 assists coming off the bench, I think if you can stagger him and Kyrie's minutes, so Gordon Hayward's your main playmaker on the floor when Kyrie's on the bench, that sounds like a very good thing for the Celtics. The bench has been, especially when Kyrie's off the floor, has really struggled to score. So if you can have a main facilitator that's not Terry Rozier, I think that's all for the better. I imagine when Hayward returns to full powers, he's going to be in your crunch time lineup. But it's just to start off the game. If you can go a whole first half with no minutes of no Kyrie and no Hayward, like if they play the entire first half or the entire game, if they're completely staggered, I think that just benefits the Celtics offense and they're not going to have these shooting slumps. And so there's really no reason to change it at this point. Especially after three damn good wins and the kind of the energy that Marcus Smart's bringing, and how well Marcus Morris is playing. There's no incentive to change it. Now, when Jaylen Brown comes back, the minutes are going to be, it's going to be harder to figure things out. But I mean, at that point, you're just working a guy back from injury. I don't think you necessarily need to make any big changes to kind of accommodate him.
Yeah. And we can figure out different ways to kind of work him back in. I wouldn't be upset if Terry Rozier's minutes got cut down a little bit, but you also wouldn't see the 8 minutes from Semi Ojeleye. Ojeleye's minutes go away, and maybe you dial back on some other minutes. Like maybe Tatum doesn't play 35, he plays 32, and you start. So right there, we've gotten to 10 minutes, and now you've just got to figure out another 10 to 15 more which is a lot, but you can still figure out ways to work that in, to work him in. So I think figuring out Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown off the bench is probably the best way to go right now. And if Jaylen struggles, then you can figure out maybe somebody moves to the starting unit. Maybe Jaylen starts in place of Marcus Morris and you bring Hayward in with Morris. Right now, I'm sticking with Hayward off the bench. For now, if it's working, the numbers at the beginning of the season, of course, this is all kind of skewed because he wasn't quite as good at the beginning of the season. And as he progresses and gets better, it's going to probably give us some numbers that are not telling us the story that numbers like this would normally tell us, if you get what I'm saying. Like, Gordon Hayward's numbers since going to the bench have been better, and the Celtics' overall point differential has been better. But at the same time, he's also improving. So would those numbers have changed had he been in the starting lineup? It's hard to say. It's not like your typical lineup change where if it was, say, Jason Tatum, and he went to the bench, and all of a sudden the numbers changed, then you can make a direct correlation. But because Gordon Hayward is also coming back from the injury, and he's also trying to find his game, and it's hard to kind of make that correlation exactly to say, well, he went to the bench, and then he's better, and everything, that so stay on the bench. It's complicated. It's very, very complicated. So, but for now, I am just team keep it rolling. The Celtics have a very, very favorable schedule coming up. The Knicks are coming up on Thursday. Then they go to Chicago. Then the following week, it's Pelicans, Wizards, Hawks, Pistons. A couple of they could win probably three or four or all four of those games. And what we're looking at, they're on a three-game win streak. They could go to five. I don't want to say that they're going to whip off nine in a row, but they could win most of those nine games. In the meantime, we're sitting here talking about a big win over Minnesota. Another podcast on our network is talking about a big win over Minnesota, and that's the Locked On Patriots podcast. Locked On Patriots is, if you are a Patriots fan, a great way to celebrate this win over the Vikings on Sunday night. If you are not a Patriots fan, well, the Locked On Podcast Network has a podcast for your favorite team. It's just Locked On. The formula is pretty simple. Locked On, your favorite team's name there, and go search for that. So whatever team that you root for has a Locked On and NFL podcast, just like we have a Locked On NBA podcast. But us, as Patriots fans, we listen to Locked On Patriots all the time. So go ahead and subscribe to that wherever you found us. Now, part of this change, Sam, is Jason Tatum. And we talk about the switch to the two Marcuses in the starting lineup. We talk about Gordon Hayward. Kyrie has been awesome. We talk about his on-off numbers. All very, very valid and worthy of discussion. There's been some talk, but not enough, of what Jason Tatum is doing. And I looked up the numbers. I wrote about this on Boston.com in my week in review. The Jason Tatum's three games this past week, Pelicans, Cavs, Timberwolves, he has changed his shot profile a lot. During the course of the season, 40.6% of his overall shots have been pull-up jumpers. Over this past week, that number has dropped to 26.8%. So he's cut 14% out of his offense, those pull-ups. And the pull-ups are all dribbling. They're all isolation. They're mostly just the problematic long twos that we've seen in the past. The catch-and-shoot opportunities up for the course of the season, 25.1% of his offense was catch-and-shoot. During the past three games, 36.6. So that's up 11.5%. So that's just to show you that Jason Tatum has heard the criticism. He's gotten the message. I think it was that last Knicks game where Brad Stevens pulled him early in the third quarter when he took an ISO long two, and he's starting to get the message, drive or shoot the threes. But pull-ups, they're going to happen because Jason Tatum can also be good at those pull-ups. But I think it's really important to recognize that Jason Tatum is changing his shot profile, taking more efficient shots, not isolating and trying to create for himself. And, oh, by the way, is scoring more. His average this past week, 1 point, just 1 point above his season average, but he's also shooting a couple of percentage points better. So he's scoring a little bit more, and he's doing it more efficiently without having to isolate to do it. And I think that's a big part of why the Celtics offense has gotten better over the past week.
Yeah, you mentioned like him getting pulled from that Knicks game. It was like right at the start of the second half, and Brad was not having his bullshit anymore. But I think that's one of the things that makes Jason Tatum really good. We've seen this over the course of his first two seasons, is he's a very quick learner. He's able to hear something from the coaches and put it into practice. I think last year it was they wanted him to catch and shoot more, and Brad came out and said that we want him to catch and shoot more, and we saw like 2 games later he started catching and shoot more. He clearly heard the message about he needs to get to the rim more often and stop pulling up, and clearly, as the numbers indicate, he's doing more of that. I mean, that was something that made him so great as a rookie was the Tatum length, like him scoring around the rim, using his extremely long arms to just kind of create weird angles and get to the rim. And I think we're seeing that. I'd still like to see him get to the free throw line more often over the he only did it 4 times against the Pelicans and twice each against the Cavs and the Timberwolves. But I still think he's generally putting his head down and trying to get to the rim, which I think is better Jason Tatum. And you're right. I think he's just been all around a better player, especially over this last week. But so the thing's kind of interesting about the narrative about Jason Tatum, because clearly at the start of the year, we all noticed the long twos, and then and so it felt like local media noticed the long twos, and then it kind of emerged into this national, like the national media was a couple weeks behind, and now it's kind of like locked in that, oh, Jason Tatum's in the second season, and now he's his shot profile is terrible, and so it feels like the national media keeps on pointing to that. But as you noted, like, he's really done a good job of kind of honing back in on what made him great. And now it's going to take like 3 more weeks for the national media to notice it and kind of report it again if he continues to do so. But it's just kind of interesting how these narratives work. But he has clearly been much better over the past 3 games. I would say his improvement and Marcus Smart turning into 150% 3-point shooter have been major changes for the Celtics.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big change. Look, remember the beginning of the season when Tatum's percentages were way off. Like, people were saying, oh man, he shot so well from three last year, and this year he was shooting like below league average, and his field goal percentage was way down, and all that stuff. Well, now, last season he shot 47.5% from the field. Now he's worked his way back up to 44.6% from the field. Not there yet, but still creeping up ever so slightly. He shot 43.4% from three last year. This year, he's creeping back up. He's now up to 39.8% from three, which is elite level shooting from three. Like, he took that slow start, and he's now hitting those threes at a much, much higher rate. Now, part of that is just some of those shots that he was taking earlier this season, they just weren't falling. There's certainly the make miss aspect going on here. I do think that some of it is he's taking the better shots, and because he's not isolating and because he's playing more in the flow, that he's getting the better looks and he's dropping those. I think overall you're right. It's going to take a little bit of time for the national media to kind of catch on to, okay, Jason Tatum is back to what he's been in the past. And now that he's averaging, he's going to be pushing his average up to close to 70. I mean, 17, 70, up to 17. Then you look at all the other things that he's doing. He's been rebounding very well. He's averaging six and a half rebounds a game. He had 9 the other night. He's been consistently the Celtics' leading rebounder. The fact that he's out there slowly ticking up his assists, that he's still getting those steals, that he's still getting those blocks. You're right, he does have to get more free throws because his free throw percentage is even better than it was last year. Tatum is going from that slow start where everybody was like, oh, shit, what's happening to Tatum, to pretty soon people are going to look at his numbers and be like, oh, whoa, he's actually improving over last year. Like, it won't take long. Like, by the end of December, you could probably go back and look at his numbers and you can start saying, oh, he's actually getting a little bit better.
The fact that he's still averaging 17 points a game, like, when he's, I think, like, you would call him the second option, but clearly Kyrie is, like, the major focus of the offense. And and we've seen that so often with Brad Stevens' offenses, where it's just like it's an equal opportunity offense where everyone's going to get a bunch of shots. The fact that we've talked about his struggles so much and we've bemoaned, oh, I'm taking so many long twos, and he's still at 17 a game in his second year when he's only 19 years old is damn impressive.
I think he's 20 now, but that's okay. I mean, he'll forever
See, he's always 19.
He's always going to be 19. That's right. That's right.
Even when he shows up with Deuce in his very adorable Instagram videos.
At some point,
I want to tell the listeners that I was at halftime and I saw Deuce behind in the family section. I just like, oh my God, there's Deuce. I was very excited. It was not my proudest moment.
Just getting excited, like, huh, look, the toddler.
I've seen him on Instagram. He knows Taco J.
That was funny. That was funny when you came up and you're giving me, relaying that story is pretty good. So we'll have to see if Tatum's numbers continue to get better, but definitely a story that needs a little bit more attention. And that's what we're here for. We're giving it more attention. In the meantime, you should be paying attention to the Locked On NBA podcast. It's a great show, if I do say so myself, even though I'm one of the co-hosts. I do the Wednesday show with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. The Monday show is the local experts on the biggest stories. And this Monday show, currently available wherever you get your podcast, I am one of the local experts talking about Gordon Hayward and the Celtics and their resurgence. So catch me and Josh Lloyd talking Celtics on Locked On NBA. A couple of other, it's usually three hosts, so three segments on the Monday show, and then you've got the rest of the week lined up with a nice variety of our hosts, including David Locke, the founder of the Lockdown Podcast Network, and some great experts on the show as well. So search for Lockdown NBA wherever you get your podcasts. So you mentioned Marcus Smart earlier, Sam. Marcus Smart, since becoming a starter, is just unconscious from three. 6 of 13 from three. That's a solid 46.2% for a career 29.6% shooter from three. It's one of the hottest stretches of his career, and who the hell knows why? It's just one of those things.
Maybe starting gives him that extra burst, but like, I don't, I have more confidence when Marcus Smart shoots a three now than I ever have his entire career. Normally it's like you go, no, oh, Marcus Smart, oh, no, no. And then it goes in and you're pleasantly surprised or it misses by a lot. But for like, it's been this entire season, but like, it's been very much highlighted in this past stretch. If you like look on Basketball Reference in his game logs, it's like, it's pretty hilarious. Either he shoots like 40% or 50% for a game or misses all of his threes. But basically when he's been starting, he's been fantastic. He's brought a ton of energy. He's throwing passes from his ass. He's getting steals, four steals against the Timberwolves. That amazing play that I had to rewind and watch like 17,000 times, because just the presence of mind to like know exactly where Jason Tatum is, like while falling and then make that pass, is insane. It's like the quintessential Marcus Smart play. But his shooting, maybe it's just something he's improved upon, but and just worked on. And I wouldn't be shocked if he falls back down to earth, but if you take all the impacts winning and all the intangibles Marcus Smart does and then also make him – I tweeted about this and said a 40% three-point shooter. I don't expect that out of Marcus Smart. But if you make him like a 36% three-point shooter, he becomes so much better.
Oh, my God. And he becomes a big-time
especially
bargain.
Oh, yeah. At that contract, a great bargain. And then we talk about him being in the starting lineup, being like a low-usage guy where you don't really have to get him the ball. But if he's just making three threes a game or two threes a game, that's perfect. That's all you need for Marcus Smart. We'll take all the crazy, insane Smart energy, and then we'll take the 6 to 10 points he gets. Like, that's awesome. There's like, I find no reason to take him out of the starting lineup. It just feels like he's done so much to just impact the energy of the team, the defensive intensity of the team. And then on top of all that, he's making threes. So Smart forever. Smart forever.
Yeah, I don't want to get that excited about him making threes because I've seen it before. I just don't want to get too
– No, you just got to savor it while it happens though. Don't expect it going forward. Just appreciate that it happens now.
I'm going to borrow the line that I wrote. I'll read you the line that I wrote from Boston.com. I wrote about this on Boston.com as well. Basically, Smart shooting is like the McRib at McDonald's. It comes around every once in a while. Everybody enjoy it while it lasts, and then it's going to go away, and you just look forward to the next time it comes around. That's basically it. So, but I will say there might be a little something to him as a starter from the shooting. Now, this doesn't carry on throughout his entire career, but last season he started 11 games for the Celtics, and his three-point shooting in those 11 games was 34.5% compared to 28.9% coming off the bench. So that's a significant enough difference. That's the only time you go back one season prior, it doesn't hold. He had basically the same starting 24 games versus 55 games on the bench was basically a 28.5% shooter. And then before that, now you're getting back to four seasons ago, and there's really no noticeable difference. But that's a different Smart, I guess. So last season, at the very least, we saw maybe you can call it a trend that Smart as a starter did shoot noticeably better than as a reserve. And this is what they would call a small sample size, but who knows? Maybe there's something to it. But I agree all around. I agree that the Celtics are rolling a little bit here. And we've talked about it on the podcast before. The energy is a little bit different. Why not just take Marcus Smart, who is content to catch and shoot threes, who can actually run a pick and roll, who can make the right pass, who can throw an alley-oop. Why not have him in there kind of facilitating? You get Kyrie off the ball, which he's said that he's liked. Keep that in there. Like we said before, whether Jalen or Gordon Hayward or Marcus Morris is the third starter, I don't know that that even matters because Marcus Morris has started games and the Celtics had these problems. It really is Marcus Smart who came in and changed the energy in a big-time way. Now, whether it's Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, like those two guys together that make that energy work, we can see. Who knows if Brad will try to have Smart and one of these other guys. If you kind of go back to some of the old problems, then we'll know. But I think really why the starting lineup has worked is that Marcus Smart doesn't need to search his own offense, and the Celtics have had guys that search too much of their own offense. He's catching and shooting, and when Marcus Smart is hitting threes, it just really changes the entire dynamic of what's happening on the floor. To have Marcus Smart hitting clutch threes when Minnesota was trying to make their run, trying to make a comeback, that's a big deal. But at the same time, you have Marcus Morris out there who is playing much, much more efficient basketball. And that allows Kyrie to do what he does. It allows Jason Tatum to do what he does. And you've got now the formula is two guys that can go get their individual offense, two guys that will take the right shots at the right time in Marcus Morris and Al Horford, and then Marcus Smart, who's just going to be a catch and shoot and a facilitating kind of guy. That's a good formula, and I think it might just be Marcus Smart that ties it all together.
We have to give Mook a lot of credit. I looked at his, he started the last five games. I was like, oh man, he's shooting 43% in his last five games. Like maybe starting for him is better. But then I looked at his season. He's shooting 44%. Well, he's actually a little bit worse while he's starting. Like, but the fact that he's shooting 44% for three this year, Marcus Morris, is absolutely insane. But you mentioned Smart starting, and I think Mook has something to do with this. And it's, I don't know how true it is, but it's one of those intangible things, but it really feels true about, and you'll hear actually Marcus Smart talk about it a lot. Like, you want to come out and be the team who punches the other team in the mouth first. You want to make like the first action. You want to impose your will on the team. And it just feels like the toughness of this team, is a lot better with Marcus Smart starting and Marcus Morris in the starting lineup. There's times in the, definitely against the Pelicans and against the Timberwolves where the other team would go on runs and the Celtics would respond in kind with their own runs. And earlier in the season, they just didn't feel like they could throw any counter punches, or they would never really jumped out to leads to start the season. It just feels like they have a lot more energy. And this is totally like a logical fallacy that all fans do. It's like, well, of course it's because of these guys, coming in. That's why they have more toughness. But I know it's a small sample size, but it just feels like the team is much more able to withstand a little bit of adversity. I mean, they're still not playing perfect basketball. There's still some questions on defense. Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague were able to do a little bit too much last night for my liking. But the Celtics were able to kind of withstand those punches and punch back. And I think it goes to show, like, with something we talked about at the start of the show about Gordon Hayward and, like, the kind of Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris being bullies to him in practice. Like, it's not fun to go up and play basketball against a bunch of bullies. And so if you get two bullies on the court, I think it just, like, it sets an attitude for the Celtics that I think has been conducive for them playing better basketball. Like, they just have a little bit more swagger about them, a little bit more confidence with them. And I think that's why they're winning games. I mean, it helps that they got to play the Cavaliers and beat them by 30 because they're an atrocious basketball team. But I just think there's clearly a better energy that's coincided with both Markei entering the starting lineup.
Well, yeah, yes, absolutely. Well, you look at that play. Well, I mean, let's look at this play for a second, because this is, you mentioned it. This play is where Marcus Smart makes the pass from his ass. It's the third quarter. It's the Celtics up 10. And this is an opportunity here for the Celtics to really start creating some distance. And Marcus Smart makes the play, the initial play. And Karl Anthony Towns actually pokes the ball away. But Marcus Morris is the unsung hero in this play, because when Towns pokes it away, Morris actually runs up and smartly doesn't try to grab it, doesn't try to – he punches it away from Towns, and he punches it towards Marcus Smart. And it's that at that point that Smart catches, and because Smart has already seen out of the corner of his eye Tatum streaking up the floor, he knows when he catches the ball that Tatum is gone. And he knows the number of defenders that are in front of him, so he feels pretty good about making that pass. So it's both Marcuses. And when you talk about the toughness, this is it. It's not about punching a guy in the mouth or all that other stuff, which they are also very willing to do. But it's about sticking with the play. It's about not giving up and making that little effort play to not just tip the ball, but even when you turn it back over, to stick with the play, and then something positive happens. And that's exactly the toughness. It's exactly what you're talking about, Sam. The inability for the Celtics in the past to counter runs, to let up big runs, to get down big, that's the toughness that Brad Stevens called out on that podium a couple weeks ago. This is what we see in this particular play, that these guys are out there working their ass off, not giving up, and then finishing the play. And then the result is this gorgeous alley-oop, just one of the most fun basketball plays you're ever going to see because they had the toughness to stick with the play. All right.
You got to be tough if you want to move to Erotic City. It was an Erotic City play in Erotic City, and it started with some toughness in the streets. So I think that's clear.
I love it.
That's my final thing to say.
let's wrap up there. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to save that for tomorrow's show because we're already going a little bit long. But just great stuff from Hayward. Great. I like the celebration afterwards. The pouring the Gatorade.
Oh, we didn't even talk about how excited Yabu was.
Isn't that great?
Pour Gatorade on him.
Yeah, like Yabu.
I would be so upset if I was Gordon Hayward and I spend $3,000 on a haircut and product, and they just pour Gatorade. Like, you can't pour water. You're just gonna pour Glacier Rush on my like $3,000 hair gel. That's absurd. But it was very excited.
He mentioned it like he's like, oh man, they messed up my hair afterwards. So, oh man. But yeah, that was a great moment. That was definitely a great moment, and some good stuff. So go check out my stuff. I mentioned it. It's on Boston.com. A couple of things that I mentioned, and if you are following us on Twitter at @Rainin_Jays, follow us on the Instagram, the Locked On Celtics Instagram. We're doing a lot of the Instagram stories on home games. So check those out. Just a little added something for the your Celtics experience. If you're a new subscriber or a new listener, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope that you enjoyed it enough to subscribe. Go ahead and search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast. The regular listeners, wherever you can rate the show 5 stars, that'd be awesome. Wherever you can give us a good review, I've seen a few on Facebook, on iTunes. Thank you very much for those. Keep them coming. They're really going to help us out. They always help us out bringing in some new listeners. So tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Jay, nowhere to be found.
No, who knows what he's doing?
Could be doing anything.
Literally, he could be doing. I bet he's just shooting on his mini hoop.
I was just gonna make that same fucking joke. Just sitting there, like just practicing, like incessantly on the mini hoop.
Just going 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, working on that mini hoop game. Tough to shoot on a mini hoop when those ceilings seem to be like 6.5 feet high. Like, you gotta get some. Gotta get some arc.
Well, we'll have to go and play a mini hoop one-on-one tournament.
We're gonna have to. I don't think there's really much choice at this point. When you tweet out yourself on a mini hoop, you're basically inviting everybody to come over and play.
You're inviting all comers. Yeah,
that's it.